No dejaremos que cierren la linda puerta que siempre ha estado abierta a la vida.
You're listening to Latin Radical with Warwick Fry.
Lara Pullen, a national coordinator of the Australia-Venezuela Solidarity Network. Last week we heard Lise McDonald, another coordinator, talking about a worldwide week of action, a protest campaign against the actions of Exxon against Venezuela. Lara, what is happening here in Australia?
Thanks, Warwick. We launched yesterday the International Week of Solidarity with Venezuela in protest at the largest oil company of the world, ExxonMobil's legal action and campaign against Venezuela's state oil company, PDVSA's assets. The reason that we've taken that position here in Australia, and not just in Australia, but internationally in conjunction with the United States Hands Off Venezuela, Venezuela Solidarity Campaign, and the United Kingdom and Canada, New Zealand, the reason we've joined together in this international campaign is because it is the largest oil company in the world, ExxonMobil. Thanks for that, Warwick. We did launch the 29th of February, beginning with a protest outside the ExxonMobil headquarters down in Melbourne, in order to draw attention of the international community, and particularly in our case, the Australian community, to the actions of the world's largest oil company, ExxonMobil, against the people of Venezuela, and not just against the people of Venezuela, but also against those people with whom Venezuela are undertaking fair trade, because an impact as harsh as this, you know, this sort of economic war which ExxonMobil are waging will, if it was successful, would have a huge impact on people everywhere. Will actually, it has been said by Venezuela that it would in fact even affect the situation of oil pricing and availability. So this is something that I think we all have a stake in internationally. When a company that has a turnover higher than the vast majority of countries of the world does, comes in to blackmail a country such as they have in the case of PDVSA in Venezuela. Your listeners might not be aware, but the situation of ExxonMobil is that they have operated in Venezuela for many years. They've had licensing arrangements and extracted and exported that oil. But the conditions over time have changed, as business practices do everywhere and agreements do everywhere. Interestingly, this week, to launch the international campaign of solidarity with Venezuela and against the actions of ExxonMobil, it's quite timely given the economic basis for the origins of the Venezuelan Revolution, which was initiated and came about particularly by an event called the Caracazo, which had its anniversary on the 27th of February. And that event back in 1989 actually had a lot to do with the state of the economy, both within Venezuela and the agreements that were being signed internationally and with the International Monetary Fund and World Bank. Certainly those who run the global capitalist economy are quite aware of the impact that they do have and the strength of capitalist globalisation at the moment. I mean, it is quite aware that it is about accumulation without borders, if you like. And I guess that's one of the reasons why our solidarity needs to be without borders as well, because that's the reach of our enemy here in this situation. In terms of ordinary people fighting back, the ordinary people of the world, then the only way we can do that is also by joining in solidarity without borders. So at the moment, in terms of the links with the Caracazo, I guess one of the most clear lines that we can draw is that the concessions that were, or the licenses that were granted through the, well, they'd been around for many years, but particularly by 1989, the year of the Caracazo, the returns going to the Venezuelan people had dropped from a high of about 16% royalties back, or 16.6% of royalties back in 1975, to 14 years later when the Caracazo came about, when the economic meltdown, as you called it, and not just economic but the social and political as well, came about, those royalties were down to a miserable 1% of the oil returns, of the royalties going back into, from the transnationals back into the economy, despite theoretically those being nationalised anyway at that time. They were this, it was a state, it, there was still a state oil company supposedly overseeing the sector. So particularly the governments of Carlos Andrés Pérez in 1989 and Rafael Caldera in 1993 had incredibly repressive measures of the International Monetary Fund and what they call Agenda Venezuela, which it caused a huge wave of poverty that really put the middle class down into poverty with the low income, you know, with the absolute poverty, if you like. And that level of what they call social exclusion in Venezuela became quite massive. And the roots of the Venezuelan Revolution were those people that were forced from a relatively comfortable lifestyle to absolute poverty. I mean, a trigger for the rioting and the rebellion of people, and it was a popular rebellion of people. It wasn't organised by any sectors on the left or anybody. It was just a rebellion of people, and the trigger actually was an increase in the price of petrol and transport costs, which is quite interesting given that what ExxonMobil are proposing to do or are actually undertaking at the moment is also something which could affect oil price and trading internationally.
I want to ask you, Lara, what percentage of the revenue goes back into the country and into the people compared to the meltdown of 1989?
Well, originally it was increased under the government of President Chavez back in 1999 when they began to recuperate, if you like, oil, what they call sovereignty over their oil sovereignty. It has gradually increased, and it got up to a third of all the royalties coming into the country, rather than the low of 1% when he'd, by the time he, the Caracasa came around, up to 33%, which was a far fairer figure. But they've gone a lot further than that, and they haven't done it by just simply throwing out the foreign nationals, although those multinational companies would probably prefer, or transnational companies would probably be represented as such. But as they've done with other issues, the Venezuelan government have waited until the licensing agreements are due for renewal. And so May Day of last year, I think, was the announcement of May Day of 2007 of complete oil sovereignty coming back into the hands of the Venezuelan state and PDVSA, the oil company. And so there were negotiations even back then with ExxonMobil about, you know, fair price to pay for that infrastructure and licensing and so on, for them having been in Venezuela for so many years. One of the issues that I think Australian listeners, and in fact the international campaign which the Australian Solidarity Movement has launched, has also drawn in consumers and solidarity activists in the United States, in Canada, in England, the United Kingdom. We are the greatest consumers of energy per capita. That's right. We are the greatest consumers per capita in the world, and we have a responsibility there. We also have a vested interest in the pricing and agreements that are around as well. So it's in our interest, as well as being the fair thing and the correct way to behave.
It was interesting, actually. I was watching the news last night, and there was a challenge by Exxon and a few other oil companies about the targets that the Rudd Labor government had set for climate change, greenhouse gas reductions and everything, and they defied that.
Yes, they haven't taken very long to challenge the Australian planned carbon emissions trading scheme. The gas producers, which include ExxonMobil, BHP, Billiton and Santos, which are close to 85% of the whole of the eastern states gas market. So, you know, you're talking about significant consumption there. Have come forward and challenged the climate change cap and trade, as it's called, emissions scheme. To say that the impact of them trying to move towards this cleaner power and so on is actually going to impact supply to such a degree, they're claiming, to such a degree that it would disrupt the eastern supply in a similar way that the Longford explosion back in 1998 did, which is I think a bit of a scare tactic on behalf of ExxonMobil. ExxonMobil is actually in the international relationships can be a bit complicated to understand, I suppose, but they're the parent company of Esso in Australia, and their partner is BHP Billiton. So there's a whole lot of links there, and it's interesting. The ExxonMobil, if you go to just their primary web page, any listener can have a look. Their little slogan under the ExxonMobil logo is taking on the world's toughest energy challenges. But I think they see that it's the people of the world and the governments that might be planning to do good things are their toughest challenges. It seems to be a very cynical exercise when they're challenging the carbon emissions in Australia. They are appealing at the moment, or they're having a look in the US Supreme Court at the compensation arrangements, the damages, sorry, arrangements for the disaster. And they are attempting to freeze, billions, $12 billion, $13 billion of assets of Venezuela, which at the moment are being delivered directly to people in social missions, particularly health and education. I see it as a very cynical move by those companies, a very deliberate and act of war almost against.
It really underlines it with a, red line, heavy underscore.
It would be very good if your listeners could take the time to just do a little bit of their own research and have a look at what ExxonMobil are doing in the world at the moment, and have a look at what Venezuela are doing in the world at the moment. And I'm sure people can make their own minds up as to what they think of the relative contributions towards a better world that are being made.
Thank you very much, Lara.
Thank you, Warwick. It's just the beginning of this week of solidarity internationally. So there's been some great actions already in Australia, but there'll be a lot more happening around the world. And I'd really encourage any of your listeners to get onto the website VenezuelaSolidarity.org and have a look at the statement, sign on to the statement about ExxonMobil there and in solidarity with the Venezuelan people. And we'll make sure that those names are all added into the international campaign.
There's been this letter to the Australian government, but there's also been action in Britain as well, hasn't there?
That's right. ExxonMobil went back to court in Britain on the 22nd of February. There was a protest on Wednesday night in London outside the court building where protesters came to make their feelings known about the attitude of ExxonMobil. And you'll recall that the people of London are benefiting from a very generous and solidarity arrangement between Venezuela and the Lord Mayor of London's office to provide subsidised fuel or affordable fuel for the public transport system and for heating oil there. Also, last week, while Exxon was busy manoeuvring and freezing the assets that would normally go through to the people directly in Venezuela, the more than 200 Native American communities organised themselves last week to pass on a special thanks to the Citgo Petroleum Corporation, which is the Venezuelan company operating in the United States, and to thank the Bolivarian Republic of Venezuela and the sister organisation Citizen Energy Corporation in the States, because that's 200 Native American communities that are benefiting from the solidarity program, the heating oil program, that actually provides subsidised heating oil to the very poor communities and the indigenous communities over there. And I think that didn't get any report, as far as I saw, in any mainstream newspaper or press agency internationally. And yet, I thought that was an incredibly significant event to mark last week, as millions of gallons of heating oil are going out through 16 states and 200 Native American communities, over $21 million worth of heating grants. That ought to be reported on and commented on.
Oh, they don't want to know about that, and I don't think they want to know about the. I think it's a slightly left-wing council who also get cheap fuel from Venezuela for their public transport system, which keeps a lot of cars off the road and keeping public transport prices down, developing the public transport system, and no doubt vested interests and the Tories would call that council corruption. Be nice if we could have some of that here, wouldn't it?
I think it's important that we stand in solidarity internationally Unfortunately, as I mentioned earlier, this is an international campaign. This is a company, a multinational company that has assets greater than the revenue that the many countries, the majority of countries around the world. And they ought to be held accountable for their actions and turning around and freezing these assets, Venezuela's assets, which according to the Minister for Energy in Venezuela is unprecedented. And Venezuela, of course, are legally challenging because these are the laws that Exxon are using, or the legal precedents are related to companies which are normally bankrupted or abandoned in some way, not to steps which have been taken legally and been under negotiation for some time. You know, this is a move that is, it's not just cynical. I mean, it's direct attempt to sabotage Venezuela's Bolivarian revolution. It's a direct attempt to sabotage the successes within the country in terms of getting the oil revenue back to the people through the social missions. And it's the direct attempt to sabotage the international relationships and solidarity that we were just talking about. And we should stand up together against it because it's the only way that we will defeat it. And it's something which I think this is just the beginning of. This week is just the beginning of.
We should be careful with the R word and the B word, revolution, Bolivarian. I'm sure a lot of English-speaking people would not understand.
Okay. Well, that's the name that is used throughout certainly Venezuela and the Latin American world to understand the changes that have taken place over the last decade in Venezuela that do ensure that poor people are now included in decision-making, in the popular councils, in administering their own lives at every level. I mean, that's the transformation that's taken place across Venezuelan society. So you're right, we shouldn't throw that word around if it's not something that your listeners are familiar with. Concept well worth learning.
I'm sure a lot of people in Australia can identify with it. Lara, thanks very much for talking to Community Radio, TuneIn FM and Latin Radical.